the midst of battle, because they're really letting one area of their life slip. And that area is what we need to talk about this morning. So the title of my message this morning is Anoint Your Shield. That's the title, Anoint Your Shield. Anoint Your Shield. Who understands that everyone, if you're a Christian here this morning, everyone has a shield that they should carry? Your shield of faith. Your shield of faith. But it should be anointed. Amen. It's anointed shield. If it's not anointed, you won't quench every fiery dart of the devil. Notice it says you'll quench the fiery darts of the devil. It doesn't mean the fiery darts are going to stop. They're going to keep coming. What it does, it puts out the fires. Yeah? So it quenches every fiery dart of the devil. So it puts out the fires on the darts. Doesn't stop the devil throwing the darts. It can rebound darts, it can put the fires of the darts out, but you will get darts thrown at you. And usually, and believe it or not, you sanctified saints of God, believe it or not, most of the darts will come from each other. Christians, throwing the darts, saying stuff they shouldn't say, and doing stuff they shouldn't do, and thinking stuff they shouldn't think. Amen? So the devil whispers in their ear, and all of a sudden, a gossiper gets another gossiper, and similar spirits attract, you see. Similar spirits attract. So a gossiper will always find another gossip. Person of lust will always find another person that's weak in lust. And what they do, they empower each other to keep doing what they're doing. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 21, verse 1 up there. It says, prepare the table, set the watchman of the tower, eat and drink, arise, you princes. Anoint your shield. Anoint your shield. Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 18. It says, finally, my brethren, finally, he's saying, this is final. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And the power of his what? First thing, be strong in the Lord. We'll go in there later. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may abide and stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, against the rules of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There is a system and a structure of darkness that is a counterfeit to the system and structure of light. That's why he talks about principalities, powers, and rules of darkness. There is structure. And the devil's not foolish. He has a structure. He copied heaven. Amen? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. You are being trained by God not to run a race. You've been being in training by God to learn how to stand. You're being taught how to stand, and stand therefore. Amen? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, when it says above all, it doesn't mean it's the most important. What it means is above all. In other words, the shield's to protect you and everything on you. Doesn't mean it's priority. All right? I can't make faith a priority than truth. I can't do that. So it means above all. In other words, it protects me as the soldier and everything on me that I carry. Amen? It covers me. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication. In the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication, for all the saints, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That's the whole reason you put on the armor of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power this morning. We ask you, Lord, that your word finds good ground in our hearts. And Father, we say, my God, help us to break up any fallow ground within us, that this seed of your word might fall on ground to bring forth, not 30-fold, not 60-fold, but we want to be 100-fold people, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's five areas of faith spoken about in the Bible. Five levels of faith. As faith grows and matures, our level of faith increases. But our faith can also slide and decrease under pressure. Can I hear an amen? Sometimes I have no faith, sometimes faith. Sometimes I have faith in between. And sometimes when I've got great faith for something, then something happens, all of a sudden I've got no faith. Can we be real? So we vacillate. We can. Amen. We vacillate between these levels of faith. And I believe this, these levels of faith are for ministry and blessing. Mark 4 says, no faith. Matthew 8 says, little faith. Romans 4:19 says, weak faith. It says, by faith, by considering one's own ability. He was talking to Abraham at that time, not being weak in faith. And being weak in faith, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. So when we consider our own power, our own abilities, our own strength, we start considering, we become weak in faith. Amen. Verse 20, unwavering faith. He believed what God had declared. Unbelief causes a wavering, right? And not wavering through unbelief. He did not consider. Then there's great faith. The man came to Jesus and said, just speak a word and my servant will be healed. I'm a man under authority. Just speak it. And Jesus says, I've never found so great a faith, not even in all of Israel. So there's great faith. Amen. He believed the word and he believed the authority. But there is a faith that can be nurtured and prepared with the anointing that has the capacity and the ability to quench every fiery dart of the devil. Some. Every fiery dart. Quickly, Pitt. Next one. I've got to rush. An anointed faith can quench all the fiery darts of the devil, of who he is. A faith in what he has accomplished. A faith in his capacity and ability. That this faith anointed will bring forth favor, comfort, and assurance. It's a faith out of relationship with him. It's not a faith that's stirred and provoked by words and actions and deeds. It's a faith that you receive and you get when you wait upon the Lord. He shall renew your power, strength, ability. You receive this level, another type of faith that only comes from relationship. Must as Christians fall in this one? We can generate speaking in tongues. We can generate by walking in the Spirit, it says in Philippians 1. We can generate faith by building our faith, most holy faith, by in the Spirit. But there's another level of faith, an anointed faith, that can quench every fiery dart of the devil. It makes your heart so secure, it's impossible to be moved. It makes your mind so at peace. It doesn't matter what's happening. The storm can come. You can still go to sleep. You can be in such a communion with him. All hell can be breaking loose, but it will not touch you or your family. There can be a Goshen in the midst of your Egypt. It's out of this place of waiting on him. The word wait means to entwine oneself like a rope. You entwine yourself, that word wait, literally means to entwine yourself with the Lord. In other words, when I am weak, he is. When I don't feel like it, and I don't think I can do it, he carries the load. When I'm feeling so weak and I can't walk it out, he picks me up. It's out of this place of intimacy and relationship with the Lord that there's another level of the anointing that is then moved with my faith that can see every fiery dart, and there will be fiery darts. There will be a battle. There will be attacks. And I don't care if you've been a Christian for 2 years, 20 years, or 200 years. Hopefully no one's here 200 years. Right? There will be a battle. You will have to fight. Paul says, fighting the good fight of faith. We will have to fight. You will have to stand and be strong at some stage in your Christian walk. And to be strong means I've got to make sure that I'm rooted and anchored in Him and union with Him, not out of a system, not out of a religion, not out of speaking scriptures and going like a parrot and doing the, nothing wrong with that. Speak your scriptures. But if you haven't got the faith, anointed faith with that scripture, words. It has to be living. This word is a living word. This word is real. This word is life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. First thing, turn the next scripture. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm breaking it down. I'm hurrying up. Might have to take some photos if you want these scriptures. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, in my relationship, and trust in His power. That's the first thing He says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in your relationship. Be strong in your intimacy. Be strong in your fellowship with God. Be strong in the Lord. And not of your might, not of your shouting, not of your grunting, not of your shundamihondering, Suzuki, Mitsubishi, not on that. Be strong in the Lord. Praise God. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor. You can't choose what to put on. I'm going to tell you that again. You cannot choose what to put on. Some things you've got to put on will confront you. First thing He tells you to put on, the belt of what? Everything. All foundation in Christ is built on truth. Jesus says, I am the and the life. The way to the truth brings me life. Amen? Everything is based on truth, the belt of truth. Everything as a soldier, when he was going to war in them days, he would have a belt. Everything off the belt. Everything. Even his helmet, before he went to war, hung off the belt. Everything hung off. Everything that I walk in and everything I do and everything I am has to be established on the truth. It must be upgirded by truth. Jesus will not bless anything unless it's built on the truth. No use lying and doing stuff that you shouldn't do and saying, oh God, help me this. Oh God, do this. Oh God. He's not listening. He's not listening. My Bible says this. If you have ought against your brother, first, leave your gift at the, then go and be reconciled to your brother. In other words, he's saying this. This is what he's saying. Paris, David's New Testament. He's saying this. You come to me with all your offerings. And they're good. Good thing. But it's not better than this. Go and be reconciled to your brother. Because how can you can't see if you can't love the one you can see? So you have to leave your gift. Then you've got to be restored. You've got to do your restoring. If they receive the restoration, if they don't receive the restoration, I'm free. Amen? So therefore, it's imperative I walk with this belt of truth. Are you with me? Put on the whole armor of God that you may withstand against the wiles and schemes of the devil, who understands the devil is tricky and wise, and he's got schemes against you. He's forever orchestrating schemes against your life and my life. He wants you down. He doesn't want you up. He doesn't want your shield anointed. Mind you playing church, but for goodness sake, he doesn't want you to be the church. He's happy you coming here, happy, clappy, singing a song, dancing, jumping for joy, walking out here full of froth and bubble. But when you get under the pressure, what does froth and bubble do? Evaporates. It's gone. No substance. No substance. He doesn't want you to have any substance. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. There's four things there. Verse 13. Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day. Who understand there is an evil day coming. There is an evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having done all to stand therefore. Having done all to stand therefore. Stand therefore having your girded with your waist truth. Everything hangs off or is attached to the belt, having put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect one's heart It's attached to the belt. Even your righteousness is attached to the belt. Feel unrighteous, but the truth says you are righteous in Christ. You might feel unworthy, but righteousness says you are worthy in Christ, but it's got to be attached to the belt. Amen? Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, have readiness of the gospel. Above all, overall, not in value or importance, but rather as a shield that can cover a soldier in everything he carries. Take the shield of faith. Taking a shield of faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen, which will you be able to quench, put out some of the fiery darts of the devil. Some of the fiery darts of the devil. All the fiery darts of the devil, of the wicked one. It doesn't say you can stop them. It's like thoughts. You can't kill thoughts. You're going to put them into captivity and bring into captive every thought unto the obedience of Christ. You can't kill thoughts. You just got to bring them unto the obedience of Christ. A thought, the devil's thought will say, you're unworthy. The obedience of Christ says, you're worthy in me. The devil says, you can't make it. Jesus says, you can do all things in Christ who strengthens you. Amen. Ephesians 6 and 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, can be hung off the belt while marching prior to battle. Hung on the truth. Salvation's hung on the truth. Not how I feel. Not how I think. It's on the truth. Are you with me this morning? It's very quiet. Of faith and my ability to fight the good fight of faith is based and hung on the belt of truth. Amen. That's why it's imperative you read your Bible. If you do not read your Bible, you will go from a day-by-day experience in existence with a hope of being blessed, not knowing you're already blessed. You're already blessed. You just got to bring it into fruition. How is this developed? How do I develop this? Ephesians 6 and 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In other words, you've got to get the mind of Christ, you've got to get in the mind of the Spirit. And the only way you can do that is being in the fellowship and the presence of God. In other words, you read your Bible and you have a prayer life. And you have a prayer life. Otherwise, all you will be doing is eating the dregs of your yesterday. Hear me. And your victories will only be memories of what was. Instead of saying to yourself, my victory is today, and I've got greater things ahead of me tomorrow. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So vital as soldiers. You've got to understand the Roman soldier understood that his shield had to be anointed. There was two rings of wood. There was up to six levels of skins on them, them woods on the shield. Six. Six is the number of? You leave that dry and unanointed, crack, break, and dry up. Anything of man will crack, break, and dry up. But it's under the covering of the anointing of God, supple, flexible, pliable. God can use that and see every fiery dart the devil hits you, pull down. Otherwise, if I'm in the flesh, you'll be running around putting out fire after fire after fire after fire. Running here and running there and doing this and doing that. Where all we need to do really is get in the presence of Jesus and say, God, help me. God, be with me. God, I want to bless you. I want to praise you. I want to love on you. And entwine yourself in Him. Change your weakness for His. So the soldiers understood they had to oil it. What they would do is this. They would get their shields before a battle. They would get their shields. They would dip it up to six layers of leather. They would dip them in water, and then they would immediately pour oil over them, and they would be in a place of preparation. You can only anoint your shields in a place of preparation and separation. Hello? No use coming to church and oiling your shield. You should be at church with your shield already oiled. Amen? So they dip it, they put the oil on it, and they rub it. layer after layer and they rub it. The reason they rub it and pay so much attention to it, because it could cost them their life if they don't. And they rub it, and they rub it, and it would be pliable, it would be flexible, and be stretchable, and then they'd be ready. And when the fiery darts come, because it's so oiled, and they would either bounce off or they would fall off, and the water would protect it as well as the oil. The oil speaks of the Holy Ghost. The water speaks of the Word of God. You've got to make sure your shield is dipped in the water and dipped in the oil. Are you with me? You're getting some water free of charge now. Water is the Word of God. You've got to make sure you're in the Word of God. You've got to make sure your faith is established on the Word. You've got to make sure your faith is established and mixed with the oil. The anointing of God. Amen? We've got to strengthen it. We've got to be intentional with it. We've got to take time to put aside for God. Can I challenge you this morning? Can we have an honesty report right now? Can we be really honest with ourselves? And there's no shame in it because all of us are doing it. How often do you miss reading your Bible? Do I miss? I miss. And I've missed. I miss. But I can't afford to miss. Ireland was done aside. So we've got to ensure that as a soldier, my shield is ready. That's when he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. All right? Hey? Oh, times. I don't read it as much as I should. That's what I mean. How do I get to this altar flow in my life? How do I build this faith, this anointed faith in my life? It's all right knowing that. But how do I do it? 1 Samuel, I think it's 1 Samuel chapter 2. King Saul died. I'll rephrase that. King Saul got wounded because an arrow hit his shield. It actually says that his shield was unoiled. His shield was not oiled. And it pierced through and he was wounded. And then he asked his shield bearer to kill him. So when there's an unoiled shield, it means that there's hardness. Right? It means that you're not pliable in God's hands. It means that when the enemy throws these arrows, there's nothing to stop the arrows catching your shield alight. There's nothing stopping it penetrating the shield to hit you. Amen? So it's imperative that we as Christians understand that unforgiveness, bitterness, pride, rebellion, and being unmerciful were all the traits of King Saul, and he never had an anointed shield. And what happened to King Saul? He died. You just speak faith all the time and don't see product of result. What it does, it kills your joy. It kills your joy. And all of a sudden you get into a routine of Christianity instead of a relationship of Christianity. And you start blaming things in it for whatever your it is. Instead of saying, God, get me to a place where I can draw the oil and massage my shield so I can stop these fire consuming things in my life. Are you with me? Where's my book? An unoiled has dire consequences. We've got to walk with this anointed faith that will quench every fiery dart. That just doesn't quench every fiery dart of my life. It will cover me and my house. The anointing of God doesn't always bring chills. It doesn't always bring goosebumps. But the anointing of God does bring His power. Who needs some power of God in their life? Who needs to anoint their shields afresh in the Holy Ghost? Who needs to see the demonstration of God's power through you and in you to quench every fiery dart of the devil against you and your household? We need to massage and exercise this faith to another dimension. You can grow anointing. Amen? You can grow the anointing by staying in His presence and believing him no matter what. Abraham did not consider his. We should be anointing our faith by praying in the Spirit. Here's one of the most unused gifts in Christendom. As a Pentecostal believer, you have the opportunity and the capacity to speak with other tongues. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, if you have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you will not speak it. But if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have the capacity to speak with another tongue, not the tongues of men. Not just the tongues of men. It says tongues, not just the tongues of men, but the tongues of angels. The devil understands the tongues of men, but he doesn't understand the tongues of angels. He's not in the heavens, so to speak. We are in the heavens. We are seated in heavenly places. Therefore, we have a communique with God that the enemy does not understand. And Philippians 1 and 2 says, build the most holy faith by speaking in the Spirit. So when you're feeling less than in your faith, don't wait for a word or a prophecy to come. Get before God and start speaking Holy Ghost until you get communion with the Holy Ghost, and then you get baptized afresh in the Holy Ghost and get re-empowered and reinvigorated, restored, revitalized in the Holy Ghost. Then your faith will come to another level called an anointed faith. But you and I have to do something about that. It is there for me to use, but do I use it? May I exhort you in your private times with the Lord, speak in the Spirit. It will build your most holy faith. Amen? Are you with me? Very quiet here this morning. What happens sometimes, we can have weak faith. And it's because our faith has become dehydrated. Hasn't been watered. Hasn't been oiled. And all of a sudden we're under attack. And we all come under attack. And now the darts are actually starting to penetrate through. And they're on the outside of my shield. And I've got better get it out because it will consume my shield. And you know what the devil wants to do? Consume your faith. He wants to consume your faith. So we become faithful. Less. You tell the faithless people because they start for what's happening. They start blaming God for what's happening because they haven't got that area for their life. So they blame God for what's happening instead of blaming the devil for what's happening and stirring something up within them, because there is a deposit of faith that God's placed in every believer. Come on now, if you're born this morning, you have a level of faith. And he wants you to stir it, grow it, and provoke it. So he doesn't do that. You've got to do that. I've got to do that. Are you with me? Renew my heart. Get revived. Return back to your first love experience. Amen? And then when from his presence, the oil begins to flow. You start to anoint your shield. Amen. You start to anoint your shield. And above all, taking hold of the shield of faith. Who needs to anoint their shields this morning? Can I be honest? If anyone doesn't really put their hand up, I doubt you're a Christian. We all need to anoint our shields afresh. Every day of the week. You can't rely on yesterday's oil. You've got to get fresh oil every morning. Add a fellowship and relationship with God Almighty himself. It's not just a song. It's no use just listening. They're all good. But unless you have religion. Amen. You have the victory. I'm saying you have the victory. The biggest issue with most of us when we get to that point of faithlessness, pride becomes our God. Everyone else and everything else is saying things, Lord, change them. They're doing this instead of saying, God, change me. Change me. Help me. Help me to love them even though they might be unlovely. Help me to bless them even though they might be nasty. Help me to walk in the Spirit always. Help me to show the fruit of the Spirit always. Change me. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who believes we're in an army? Well, an army carries a shield. The Romans had it down to pat. They could lock shields together and walk as one. But you know what a Roman would do if they saw a dry shield? They send him to the back because he was too much of a risk. They send him to the back. They didn't kick him out. They sent him to the back. It says, go and prepare your shield. Amen. If you're here this morning, I release the word of the Lord for 2020. We need to walk with anointed shields. The arrows will come, the dart fly. But anointed shield can quench out every fiery dart of the devil. They'll just fall at my feet. Hallelujah. Accusations will fall at my feet. Wrong words will fall at my feet. Bitterness, resentment will fall at my feet. Amen. I will lord it over them. They have no right in my life, and they certainly should not have any control in my soul. Hallelujah. If you need some refreshing oil to anoint your shield afresh, if your shield's a bit dry this morning, God is here to pour out something on your life. They get here, not just above all, to cover all, but for you and your house. Amen. If that's you here this morning, you just lift up your hands before the Lord and say, God, I need a fresh dose of some oil. I need some oil. I need to pursue you. I need to get back into relationship with fellowship with you. I need fellowship, Jesus. I need to come into your presence. I need, my God, I need to come into your presence. I need to wait on you. Lord, help me develop my prayer life afresh. Lord, stop me speaking all about me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus taught us to pray, and the first thing he taught them was this, glorify him first. Don't bring your petition before him. Glorify him first. Make him bigger than your problem. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. Lord, we're catching what you've got for us. Lord, teach us to anoint our shields afresh. Teach me, Lord, to wait in your presence. Teach me to be a man that's got the belt of truth on. Teach me, Father, Lord, to walk with everything hanging off the truth. Lord, even at my own expense, the truth have its way in my life. Lord, I bow my knee. I humble myself. I say, let thy will be done and thy kingdom come in me as it is in heaven. We receive it, Father, because we've asked by faith. Lord, anoint our faith afresh that we will walk out of here potent, powerful. Lord, knowing, Father, doing all to stand, we will stand there for. Lord, under the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee and some fellowship after. Say hello to someone you don't know. Amen. And go and say hello to my daughter, my gorgeous daughter, and her future husband, Dylan. And because next week, after this time next week, they're not here. They'll be on their honeymoon. God bless you. Have a great week.